Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Can you just help there, please? Celebrate is our theme. And so we thought that we would celebrate this amazing man here because he is a walking miracle. Tim, you have an amazing testimony. And so you want to share your testimony with us? And you know the drill.
I know the drill.
Oh, we've got to tell everybody else what the drill is. Yeah. So if anybody's upstairs, up here, and you see me do this, you know that that's their sign to, shh, now, and let's wrap it up, yeah?
All right. Hope I don't get that hand. Yeah, so just to let you know, I was born with an abnormally large ureter. So abnormally large ureter. And what that condition, the ureter, if you don't know what it is the connection between the kidneys and the bladder. And that condition, what that result would be the urine going back up to the kidneys and causing a reflux and then destroying and permanently damaging the kidney. And so that was what I had, but you know, at that time, 40 years ago, it went undiagnosed. So when I was 1 year old, I had quite severe fevers, and then my parents rushed me to the hospital, and they found out that I had this condition. But by then, I've lost my left kidney. So my left kidney is completely destroyed. And so they rushed me to an emergency surgery and tried to save my right kidney. And they did. They did sort of did the surgery. And it was a really painful time for, you know, parents. Like, so my mom recalled, it was so difficult to see, you know, their eldest child, you know, baby 1 year old, and with many tubes coming out of this baby and just recovering from surgery. And my mom's a prayer warrior, right? So I thank God for my mom, who's a prayer warrior. And so she prayed, and when she prayed for me, the word, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans for you, plans to prosper you, etc. And that word was given to her as she was praying, and she just kept praying that word. Recovered 7 years later. In that 7 years, I was a really distressed, sickly child. So I was always having fevers, and you know, I had no appetite. You know, I was skin and bones. You know, don't look at this now. I was skin and bones. I had no appetite, and I was always sick, and always had to go to hospital. There was a follow-up checkup that sort of revealed that the condition actually persists. And so there was reflux that was happening to my right kidney, the remaining right kidney, and they had to schedule another surgery to try to fix that. During that time, that's when I actually... So surgery. And then my parents, you know... Thank God for the local church. That's why if you're in this church, a praying church. That's good. And that's where, you know, the whole church, I remember my church rallied, this is in Malaysia, rallied around my parents and we prayed. And my, you know, my parents took me down to every altar call. Yeah. Every altar call, yeah. We would be down. Every opportunity, we would be down and we would be praying. And the church would rally.
So good.
And whilst this was happening, I actually accepted Christ. So at 8 years old, I actually accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit right there and then. And I remember, very hilarious, you know, I couldn't stop praying in tongues for like days and probably weeks. And I remember praying in tongues even in the toilet. You know, I was showering. I was praying in tongues. And my mom was like, what is this guy doing? Oh, this little boy. But I remember it was like a habit that was developed overnight. And I just couldn't stop praying in tongues. And so, yeah, there was... Then, now, just give you a bit of the story there. Then what happens, one of the days after accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, I was having really severe fevers, shivering on the mattress, lying on the mattress. And my mom was actually just sort of wiping me down and sponging me to get the temperature down. And my mom was singing this song by Don Moen, like, "I am the God that healeth thee." And she would sing this song over wow. me as she was sponging me. And I remember very clearly, as she was doing that, I looked at the front door and this figure came in. A figure in bright wow. robes came in through the front door. So the door was closed. It came in through the front door and then walked towards me. I couldn't see the face because this person just shone like the sun. And this person just walked towards me, and then I was on the floor and just touched my forehead. And that instantly, the fever left.
Wow.
Instantly.
Wow.
And never came back. Wow. That's the. So I remember like telling my mom, like, "Oh, I think I saw Jesus." And then my mom was like, "Okay, now let's pray." All right. From that moment, from that encounter and that touch, and still remember very vividly, my fever left. No more fevers. My body was restored. My appetite came back, hence why you see this, right? And I remember there was a prophetic prayer that prayed that exact, and so that exact Jeremiah 29:11 was spoken into my life prophetically. And at that point, my parents felt a conviction to stop the medications.
Wow.
And then my appetite came back, restored, and then even the surgery that was scheduled, the doctor said, "Oh, actually, it's not necessary anymore." And I was like totally healed. Like,
so good.
And so truly, I can tell you, Jesus is real.
Come on.
And I'm a miracle of His healing. And I know that His story hasn't ended. Right? Because, you know, I said I lost my left. I've got my right. Even my right's like, you know, a little bit damaged, but I really believe, truly believe that the story continues and that He will work His creative healing
Amen.
On my life, and my left kidney will grow. That's I truly believe that.
Joshy, jump up. Joshy, jump up. Anybody here, this is your shoulder, all right? Shoulder, stop talking. Just jokes. Anybody here who has kidney problems or knows of somebody with kidney problems, if they can stand. Yep, great. There's a number. Can I have some of the team to just go? Don't hesitate. We're going to release this miracle. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we're going to be speaking to miracles. We're going to be speaking to kidneys right now. And we're also going to just thank God for this miracle of creative miracle here. I've got a lady at the back there. Thanks, Joel. That's awesome. Anybody else? Not got anybody? The rest of us, let's just pray. You hold your hands out for your miracle and release the miracle on them. Thank you, Lord. Father God, you want to pray, Josh?
Thank you, Father. Lord, we lift up every single kidney to you right now, Father, and we declare your healing hand is upon us, Lord, now in this place, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We know that you are here, Lord, and we release the healing right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, not in our name, but in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this healing. Thank you for people who are not in the room, Lord, right now.
Yes.
As well, Father, we release this healing for them, Father.
Release your miracles,
we thank you for the testimony, Lord, in advance.
Yeah, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord.
Father, and we also thank you for this creative miracle, Father God, where there is no kidney, let there be a kidney. Father God, where the kidneys maybe even be shriveled up, we say life to the kidney. We speak to the right kidney as well as the left kidney, and we say, right kidney, you will function normally in the name of Jesus. We pull heaven down right now and we release the healing power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Thanks, Tim. Come on, let's hear it up for Tim. Awesome testimony. Fantastic. I thought I'd have more time in the second service, but that hasn't happened, has it? Well, welcome to church. 10th of November, the month of celebration. This is week two. And last year, as I was planning, God gave me this theme for November. I did not understand why, but now I do. You see, we've had an interesting year. Yes, we've had a very interesting year, to say the least. But it has been a good year. Good in the sense that through the trials, through the tribulations, through the challenges, we have grown. Look at your neighbor and say, I have grown. You have grown in your need for Him. You have grown. We have all grown in our dependence upon Him. We have grown in our surrender to Him, and we have grown in our hunger for more of His presence. It's very evident with our services. Our services are not cookie cutter. Our services, when you come to these services at Yuma East, you never know what's going to happen. Why? Because we surrender everything and we say, Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, you move. We have seen growth. Normally, we take stock at the beginning of a new year as we cast vision for the old year. We take stock at the beginning of the new year as we cast vision for the new year. But I believe God wanted us to take stock this month. I believe that God wanted us to take stock in November, because 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which is going to be on the screen, says, thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. But you see, He wanted us to see His fingerprints that are upon this year through every month, so that when we enter 2025, we basically will enter with a greater faith. We will enter with a greater expectation. Amen. All right. I need you to talk to me today, all right? Because there's a number of things I'm going to be sharing, but there's a number of things that I'm going to be declaring. And as we declare and we agree upon it, so we set the foundation for 2025. I declare right now that 2025 is going to be a completely new start. Not a fresh start, but a new start. If you think this year went fast, brace yourself, as I believe that 2025 will pick up the place when it comes to the spiritual aspects of life. You see, I believe as well that there is coming a fresh and an intense outpouring of God's presence upon the church, which includes you. 2024 has only been the preparation, people. 2024 is the preparation for 2025. You see, because Jesus says in His word that He is coming back for a spotless bride. And I want to say this to you today. He is coming back way sooner than what you think. I don't know what you're doing these Christmas holidays, but I do have a book that I would love you to read, some light reading. The book's name is The Book of Revelation. Because when you read the book of Revelation and you start seeing that in the book of Revelation, it talks about wars, the rumors of wars, earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you start realizing, oh my gosh, there is an alignment that is happening with His coming back. It is sooner than what we think. So as we reflect and celebrate today, I want to unpack a term that was firstly prophesied over the East family when Pastor Ben Fitzgerald ministered here after the revival conference in July. It is a term that has been featured over and over again, even with one of the songs that has been written in this house, and that term is the East Wind. I've titled this message, When the East Wind Blows, A Time of Power, Purging and Promise. Are you ready? East wind is made up of two words, east and wind. When we look at the significance of east, we find that oftentimes the east is associated with the presence of God. For example, the Garden of Eden is placed in the east. In Ezekiel's vision, in Ezekiel 43 verses 1 to 7, the glory of God is seen coming from the east. East also signifies new beginnings. Here's a question. Those of you that were in the first service are not allowed to answer. But here's a question. What significant thing takes place in the east? Every day. The sun rises, correct, brownie points for you. With the sun comes light, and with the light comes the darkness is driven back. You see, Lamentations 3:22 tells us that his mercy is on you every morning. So sunrise brings about a new beginning of a new day, but with that comes new mercies. And where does it commence? In the east. There's a significance about this wind that is blowing being in the east. The second word that we are looking at is wind. Wind is ruach in Hebrew or pneuma in Greek and means the breath of God. So I have put these two together, placed them together, and I want to say that the east wind is a term that can reference the divine breath of God that moves to ship, shape, restore, and sanctify his people. This is a word. This is a good word. The east wind is not just a wind. It's not just a term that has been spoken over this. It's talking about the release of the divine breath of God, which is coming into the east, Pneuma East, to shift, shape, restore, and sanctify his people. Now, we all know this. So when we look at this prophetic word of the east wind over this family, we can look at it in a different light. You see, just as the east wind moved in a mighty ways biblically, I believe and I declare today that it is moving in mighty ways in our midst right here each time that we gather. That is important. Why? It is important because we need to take stock of our lives. We need to take stock of our circumstances and find what God is doing and celebrate with him in his moving as he breathes life and this wind changes the family and the family dynamics. You see, it is important to unpack these kind of things. When you get a prophetic word, you don't put it on a shelf and wait for it to come into play. You take the prophetic word, you unpack the prophetic word, you partner with the prophetic word, you declare the prophetic word. In other words, you are partnering with God, and then only does it come into fulfillment. Many times I was taught, you got to put it on the shelf. And if it is God's will, no. A prophetic word comes from the throne of God. We taught about this year. If you missed that, go onto the podcast. They are available. A prophetic word comes from the throne room of God. It's spoken by the prophet. And as it is spoken by the prophet, guess what? Things happen. Lives change. The east wind is blowing in Pneuma East. Now, there's three things that I want to highlight, three significant things that I want to unpack of the east wind. The first is this. The east wind is a symbol of God's power and authority. You see, when the east wind blows, it speaks to the undeniable power and sovereignty of God. Psalm 48:7, out of the Amplified Bible, we read, "By the east wind..." That's right, it's in the Bible. "By the east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish." By mentioning the east wind, the psalmist emphasizes God's sovereignty over nature, as well as his ability to control the elements and harness them for his purposes. A reminder, God's power and might was in the east wind. This also symbolizes God's ability to bring down any human endeavor that stands in opposition to his will. And then it also contributes to the overall theme of God's protection over his people. He loves you so much that he protects you no matter what's going on out there in the physical world. You see, the east wind assures the faithfulness of God's presence and support. So I want to say this, just as God used the east wind to break the ships of Tarshish, he is using the same wind in his church to break down anything that hinders us from fully experiencing and encountering him. It's been very obvious this year. It has been very clear over the past 12 months that we have gone from glory to glory in so many areas and ways. Amen? The east wind has been blowing in our gatherings. The east wind has been breaking down the walls of sickness and poverty. The east wind has been breaking, demolishing orphan mindsets and oppression and complacency and stagnation. There was even the prophetic word today. I had to smile when Wade came and brought the prophetic word because I'm like, he's been reading my sermon notes. Again, let me highlight, when we are one spirit, and we are unified, because the prophet Roma was on the stage in the first service, and she brought a dynamic word of an open door, and we are stepping into that open door. And guess what? The altars were full. We're in alignment because the east wind is blowing. I'm excited. I am so excited. Pauline is excited, and so should you be, that we are clearly in a season where God is eradicating old mindsets, breaking through comfort zones, challenging the different spirits, and even dismantling anything that stands in the way of His glory being manifested and His kingdom being built. The east wind is a symbol of God's power and authority here at Pneuma East. Amen. We can get excited about this. The second point that I want to bring is that the east wind brings purging and preparation. We don't like those words, do we? Because we live in an instant world. We want it to happen immediately. Put the microwave in, pop it out, and everything is good. No. Here, when we walk with God, there is a season of purging and preparation. Purging, in the biblical context, refers to the act of cleansing, or removing impurities. It sounds like pimples. Sins or undesirable elements, often through a process that signifies a return to holiness or righteousness. He is coming for a pure bride. No more blemishes, no more impurities, no more sins, no more undesirable elements. I heard this guy say this a little bit earlier on. He is coming back for a spotless bride. I don't know who that was, but he's just saying. Purging brings about what? Preparation. Purging brings about preparation. Purging prepares believers to live a life that is set apart from God. Purging prepares the believer. The process of purging fosters intimacy with God. Purging prepares believers to be more effective in bearing spiritual fruits like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and patience and goodness and patience and faithfulness and patience and self-control and patience. We all need patience. Purging is part of the sanctification process, which helps believers grow in their faith and maturity. The church needs to grow in their faith and in their maturity. We have a lot of immature people running around, calling themselves the church, causing a lot of damage to the church, to His bride. Purging is part of the sanctification process, helps us grow in faith and maturity. You know what? Ultimately, purging prepares believers for eternal life with God, aligning our lives with the value of God's kingdom, preparing us to dwell with Him forever. You can read this in Revelation 21:27, where it describes the purity required for entrance into God's kingdom. It's not just what JJ says, it's what the scriptures say. You see, the east wind is often a purifying force symbolizing His intentional process of refinement. Refinement. How? Trials. Challenges, intervention. Where do we see this in the Bible, JJ? Genesis 41. There's this dude, his name is Joseph. Joseph has to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And this dream is of 7 lean cows and 7 ears of grain, which is what? Scorched by the east wind. Go and read it. As this is, the interpretation is, hey, Pharaoh, dude, there's a famine coming our way. It was scorched by the east wind. You see, this was a testing period for Egypt and surrounding nations, which ultimately led people coming to Joseph, who was a man after God's own heart, and they had to rely and trust on the wisdom of God that God had given to Joseph. It was a season of preparation in that time for the people to depend on God and God alone. How did it come about? The east wind. East wind, purging and preparation. Church, we know that there are great things ahead of us. We know it. I declare it, but we know it. Why do we know it? Because we see it. We sense it. We hear it. We sense it completely. But we also need to be aware that we are in a time where the east wind is blowing to cleanse and to test and to prepare us for what is ahead. If we are not tested, if we are not cleansed, if we are not prepared now, we will not be able to embrace what lies in 2025 and beyond. I believe that like in the days of Joseph, God is preparing us, Pneuma East, to be a source of spiritual provision and hope for a community that is lost and a world in need. We are, you and I, are going to be the source of spiritual provision. And I want to say even physical provision and hope for a community and a world in need. And so as the east wind is needed, because with it comes the purging, and it is the purging that removes or cleanses anything within us and around us that is unfruitful and unholy, that is hindering our growth and our relationship with God. Purging is anything that is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable, but it reveals and strips away what is unhealthy and unnecessary. It's where we come and we lay it down at the altar and we say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And this could be sinful habits. This could be harmful relationships. This could be distractions. This could be attitudes. This could be his character, anything that is against his character and his purpose for us. The east wind blows to clear way for new growth, deeper roots, and a hunger for God's spirit that cannot be quenched by worldly things. A day is coming. A day is coming, and it is very close when Jesus will return for his bride, when Jesus will escort her to heaven, where he will present her to himself as a pure and a spotless bride. And I want to encourage you today, welcome and celebrate this wind of God. Welcome and celebrate it, knowing that it is part of him purging and preparing you and I to carry anointing levels that not yet been seen by man. I believe that there's a greater outpouring that is coming, that we will need to be prepared. Are you prepared, church? Are you prepared for the greater levels? Because he wants to pour it out. And the purging is preparing us for that time. I believe with my whole heart, and this is not a hype message, I want to tell you, I pray every day and I believe with my whole heart, we have not seen his presence yet like we are about to see his presence in 2025. We have not yet seen miracles and signs and wonders yet like we will see in 2025. I mean, where is Tim? Tim is asking God for a kidney, for his left kidney to be creatively be restored. You know what? I declare this. I declare this, that will happen naturally. Limbs will grow out. Eyeballs will come back. People will hear. Why? Because it is part of God's will and plan. But you and I need to go through the purging in preparation to be able to walk the way Jesus walked. So, the east wind is a symbol of God's power and authority. The east wind brings purging and preparation. And thirdly, the east wind comes as a force for deliverance and breakthrough. Do you hear what I said? A force for deliverance and breakthrough. Where do you get this, JJ? Exodus 14:21. We see the east wind move in a mighty act of deliverance. I read it. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. You can read it in the Bible. By a strong east wind all that night, and it made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. This powerful east wind was God's way of opening a path through the impossible, creating a road that was possible into the promised land. But you have to take note that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Hello, people. Hello, church. You and I play a role in seeing the miraculous revealed, in seeing the miraculous manifested. That's why we need to go through the purging so that we can be prepared to step out in faith and join with the line of Judah that's on the stage and roar, or stretch out our hand and declare healing, or stretch out our hand and see the east wind part the Red Sea, dry the sand so that the people can walk across into their promised land. The significance of this miracle is it illustrates God's power and sovereignty over nature. He used an east wind not to only part the sea, but to cause the land to dry, and the waters were divided. The land was dry. Dumasani, are you getting this? The land was dry. It wasn't muddy. It was dry. Overnight, this is the power of God that we are talking about. God wants to actively be involved in the deliverance and well-being of his people. He was wanting that, and he is still wanting that, because he is the same God yesterday, the same God today, and the same God forevermore. You see, the east wind symbolizes God's ability to save his people against insurmountable odds. You may say to yourself today, but JJ, you don't understand. I may not understand, but I know one who does, and his name is God. I know one who is the miracle of all miracles, and his name is Jesus. And by his name, all knee will bow. And by his name, all people who are sick will be healed. And by his name, that everybody on this planet, every human being will know him by his name. The scenario teaches that we as believers need to have faith and trust in God's promises even when the situation seems impossible. A central theme throughout the Bible. We talked about over 7,000 promises. Over 7,000 promises which are yours. Over 7,000 treasure chests in an open heaven. And you have the key to walk over and unlock those promises and make those promises your own. Today, I declare that the east wind is blowing in our church as a wind of deliverance. God is creating pathways through situations that seem impossible. God is delivering you and myself from generational curses. God is shattering shackles of slavery, be that mental, be that spiritual, and be that physical. God is blowing out the orphan mentality. The east wind is blowing out that orphan mentality, reminding you and I that he is your father. You are his sons and you are his daughters. He is delivering his sons and daughters from their very own Egypt. That's a word. Very own Egypt. From patterns and mindsets of this world. Our faith needs to rise up. Our faith needs to rise up. Come on, say to your neighbor, your faith needs to rise up. Say to that neighbor, or speak to yourself. Take the bulk out of you, the splinter out of your own eye before you try and take it out of mine. You see, just as he parted the Red Sea, God is moving obstacles. God is breaking down barriers. God is making a way forward for his people to cross over, hear me now, on dry earth into the promised land. What am I saying by dry earth? Why is dry earth such a big thing? Can you imagine how muddy it would be? Do you know what the river looks like when a river is all of a sudden sucked dry? It's like mud that you cannot, you know that thing gets stuck in mud? It's exactly that. This was dry, which means it was comfortable. which means it was easy. Is anybody taking this? I take it for myself. Let me read that again. Just as he parted the Red Sea, God is moving obstacles, breaking down barriers, making a way forward for his people to cross over on dry earth into the promised land. Here's a word for you. There is a crossing over in 2025. Hear me now. There is a crossing over in 2025. Whatever sea stands before you, whatever sea stands before us as a church, God's east wind is strong enough and will blow as long as he needs it to blow to make a possible and comfortable way so his children, you and I, can embrace all he has for them. I also heard the Lord say this morning, the east wind brings the promise of restoration. You see, Joel 2:25, God promises, I will restore you the years that the locusts have eaten. What does a locust symbolize? Have you ever seen locusts? Have you ever seen a swarm of locusts? I did in Africa. In South Africa, I saw this black cloud come over, and we raced to get through it. And the next day when we drove past it, on this side and this side, there was nothing. It was like a barren wasteland. But my God, who I believe in, who I'm preaching about, who you believe in, promises us, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I want to declare today that which has been destroyed, that which has been taken from you, God Almighty wants to and will restore. Even in the direst of circumstances, God has the power because he's almighty, because he's majestic, to bring forth new life and abundance. Why? Because he can. Why? Because he is God. Why? Because it is part of his will and who he is. Why? Because he loves you unconditionally so much so that he sent his one and only begotten son to die for you. What drove that? His love for you and for I. No matter what your circumstance is, he loves you and he wants to restore what the locust has eaten. Church, I want to say to you today, if you've walked through a season of struggle or if you have felt as though the enemy has stolen from you, during 2024, be encouraged. The east wind is blowing. The east wind is blowing. It's been prophesied. It has been prophesied again. It has been prophesied again. I am teaching today. The east wind is blowing, and God is bringing restoration. What the locust has eaten, God will destroy. All you and I have to do, we just got to continue to submit to his purging, as difficult as what that is. We got to continue to embrace his purposes. We got to continue to pursue his presence, because without his presence, we just have a concert. But with his presence, we have life-changing opportunities. And as we do, we have to trust wholeheartedly that restoration is coming. Restoration is coming. Put your hand on your heart and say, restoration is coming. Say it out loud. Restoration is coming. Can you feel the power when you say that? Restoration is coming. What are you doing? You're speaking to atmospheres. You're speaking to mountains, mountains that have been before you for years. You're saying, restoration is coming. Get out of my way in the mighty name of Jesus. It is time, people. It is time. So as I conclude, I want to say this, Tim, if you can jump up here, or whoever's jumping up with me. Let us celebrate the east wind blowing. As tough as what it may be, as tough as what it may look, as frustrating as what it is on a Sunday, guess what? We linger longer because we sense the east wind is blowing. We go for the prophetic word because we sense that the east wind is blowing. We have prayer lines down the front. Why? Because we sense that the east wind is blowing. I say, let us celebrate the east wind blowing in Yuma East, because as it blows, we know that his powerful presence is in this place. Amen. And more importantly, we know that when the east wind is blowing, he is actively at work doing what? Bringing restoration. He's purging us. He's preparing us. He's delivering us because he wants to restore us. Let us not fear the shaking that it brings. Let me say that again. Somebody needs to hear that. Let us not fear the shaking that it brings. Fear is not of God. Scripture says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. The majority of the things that we talk about nowadays in our general chit-chat, the root of it is fear. But when you speak life, you speak it from love, from power, and from a sound mind. Let us rejoice in the east wind, for it is God Himself who is moving mightily amongst us. It's God Himself. I've got to say this. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'm going to say it here. You know all those trials and tribulations that we go through? Many times the devil gets the blame. Maybe it's part of the purging. This is where we need the spirit of discernment. Not what is happening. What now, Lord? Not why, Lord. What now, Lord? What now do you want to teach me? What now? Which direction do you want me to go? Turn right, turning right. Turn left, turning left. Stop, stop. Hands raised, hands raised. I don't know why. But I know the east wind is blowing. And I know that He has got great plans for me. Prophetic word, plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give a hope and a future. Here's your homework before we pray. Challenge, your challenge. You know, we always give a challenge. I want you to take stock of your year. January to November, 10th of November. January to the 10th of November. Take stock. Find the fingerprints of God in your life. Not, oh my gosh, January was a disaster. Oh, and February as well. And March. Oh, April, May, June, July, August, September. No, and Jay just telling me I've got to take stock. That's not what I'm telling you to do. Look at what God has done. Oh my gosh, I didn't know how to pay my electricity in January. Somehow, it was paid. I heard that giggle. Oh my gosh, I got this medical diagnosis. But I had the peace of God. My wife's testimony. That's the fingerprints of God. That's the kiss from heaven. What did God do last month in your life? Oh, I heard somebody in the first service say, what did God do for you? They said, I've met somebody that I've fallen in love with. We're not talking about a young person. We're not talking about a teenager or a young adult. We're talking about a mature person. First time. That's the kiss from heaven. That's God. You see, what we focus on grows. Let's focus on the fingerprints. Having been a policeman, oh, he was a copper. Yeah, I was a copper. When you find a piece of a fingerprint, you look for more. This is a word for somebody. When you find somebody's broken in and you find a little smidge of a fingerprint, you look for more. Church, let's start looking for more of God's fingerprints, because they are in your life, because He loves you so much. I feel God on that. He loves you so much. It may not be that obvious. You may have to really look. A policeman doesn't just walk up and go, oh, here's a fingerprint. Yeah. Gets the dust out, dust it gently. The whole millimeter by millimeter, the glass pane. It's actually a pain in the butt, but you've got to be so tedious with it. But little by inch, where's the fingerprints in your heart? My gosh, I'm feeling God all over this. Where are the fingerprints? Where do you sense the east wind blowing? Celebrate that. And then start partnering, because what I find is you find a golden thread through every month. Maybe it's provision. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's your faith. But then you start partnering with what God is doing. 2025, we will not just be doing any program just to do a program. We'll be asking God, God, what do you want to do in 2025? And then we'll partner with what He's doing. You see, because when I do something out of my own strength, I've got to make it happen. But when I partner with Him, He makes it happen. I just go for the joyride. That's a word for somebody here as well this morning. I conclude, and then I'm going to get Josh up. 2025 is going to be an exceptional year. An exceptional year. I don't know if I said this. Chris, maybe you can find it. It's one of the first, it's maybe the third slide. There is coming a fresh, intense outpouring of God's presence upon His church, and that includes you. Can you throw that one? Slide number three. There is coming a fresh, intense outpouring of God's presence upon His church, and that includes you. If we can close our eyes, just leave that up there. Just leave that up there. If you want to partner with God, you want to partner with JJ and Paulina, going to ask you to stand as we partner with God through the purging, for the preparation, for the restoration. Just hold out your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, here we are, your children. Your children, we stand before you. And we thank you for the east wind that is blowing at Yuma East. We thank you for the east wind that is blowing across our community. We thank you that it is even out of the east. That your wind will blow across this nation of ours, the great Southland of Holy Spirit. Father, us today, we put up a hand as we stand in surrender and we say, Lord, we choose to partner with the east wind to see your spirit, your power, your plans and your purposes manifested in our lives, in Yuma East, and in our community and our nation. We thank you for this. We thank you that you carried us through 2024. We thank you, Lord, that there are fingerprints all over our lives, our circumstances, our finances, our health. Is your fingerprints are all over. Help us, Holy Spirit, to notice, to see, to give thanks in all circumstances, because that is your will for us. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart. Father, some of us, myself included, just go, Lord, we can't do this without you. We need you. We need you. We believe, but help us in our unbelief. Help us, Holy Spirit, to embrace everything that you have for 2025. A fresh, intense outpouring of your presence upon your church, New East and beyond. Father, we say yes. Just there where you are, if you say yes, say yes. I say yes, Lord. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in Jesus' mighty name. As it is in heaven, so let it be here on earth. Amen and amen. Can we give God praise?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life. And I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.